So good morning and welcome to the Beis Medrash CBY's Beis Medrash program Yarchei Kala. Originally, the whole purpose of the Yarchei Kala was just plain Habatzis Torah, and we're going to have one share. And I was speaking to Eli Belzon around a little over a week and a half ago, and you know, he said he'd like to, we should expand the Yarchei Kala to have a few shurim in the morning. And the learning that we were doing today should be for Rufua Shlema, for our very close and dear friend Yitzchak, and Yitzchak Yaakov ben Bat Yisara. So to me that was a very special Nikuda, because Yitzchak is not only my close friend, he's my Chavrusa. And it's a tremendous chus for Jack and I to have, you know, this program dedicated for a complete Rufua Shlema for him. On a personal note, it's just a very moving opportunity here to everybody that we have a nice showing, and that this should be a continued opportunity for the Beis Medrash program to provide shiurim. Rabbi Weil will be speaking after Rabbi Eli Belzon, and then after Rabbi Weil, Rabbi Sablosky will be giving a shiur. We'll all be giving a few shurim throughout the winter, so please take note for the advertisements of the coming dates when he'll be giving the shiur. The cover gadol for the old guys on.
To be honest, the real reason, it's just a tough market out there and it's tough to find the area to speak, so I called Henry. But now again, in all seriousness, I'd like to thank Jackie and Henry and the BCBM for this opportunity. And Mitz Hashem, this should be, all the shiurim should be dedicated for Rufua Shlema for Avi Mori Verabi Yitzchak Yaakov Ben Bat Yisara. I'd like to discuss a topic. The topic is the yeses and noes of Amir La'akum, of Malachos, prohibitions that are transgressed on Shabbos through a messenger, through a Gentile that's doing it for you on your behalf. But I think the topic really should be reversed. I think we first have to really understand the no's, and then once we understand the principles of what's prohibited, then we can really develop the yeses and what's permitted, and understand how we deal with this on Shabbos. The Mechilta in Parshas Bo comments on the pasuk Lo Sasa Kol Malacha Bohem. The Mechilta writes that you should not do malacha lo sasa ata, you don't do malacha on Shabbos. Lo sasa chavercha, your friend should not do malacha on Shabbos. The lo sasa akum, and a Gentile should not do a malacha, one of the 39 malachas, on behalf of you on Shabbos. Some of the Rishonim, namely the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvah Sagadol, the Urain, quote this Mechilta and say, well, they read it simply. It seems like if a Gentile does malacha for you on Shabbos, if he mows your lawn, if he turns on the light for you, whatever that malacha, one of the 39 malachas are, if he does that on your behalf, that's a violation of the Torah. That's a biblical violation, like the Mechilta says, like the Torah says, lo sasa malacha bahem. Now, that would pretty much end this year. That would pretty much make our lives very difficult on Shabbos and when dealing with the issue of Amir La'akum, because we'll see as the shiur develops, Chazal instituted many leniences because they were of the opinion, as the Ramban disagrees with these Rishonim, that this Mechilta is not to be taken literally. It's just an Esmachta, it's a mnemonic, it's a remez, it's a hint. But really the concept of Amir La'akum, the fact that a guy does Malacha on your behalf, is really only a rabbinic invention. It's only rabbinic in its nature. There is a idea, a pshara, a middle view brought down from Rav Yosef Engel in his comments on Maseches Shabbos, that he says, maybe they're both right. Maybe both Rishonim are right. Sometimes it's Min HaTorah, sometimes it's Midrabanan, and it depends. If the Gentile is using your property, he's driving in your car on Shabbos, so then maybe it's biblical. Maybe that's more stringent. However, if he's doing a malacha on your behalf, but he's using his own property. He's using his own car. He's using his own flashlight. So then that would only be rabbinic in its nature because he's just representing you, but he's not using your objects and your property as well. That is not accepted either. The Mishnah Berurah writes that we accept the opinion of the Ramban that the whole concept of Amira La'akum, of a guy doing malacha for you on Shabbos, is rabbinic in its nature in its entirety. The question is, though, once we accept the Ramban, so then what is the reason that the Rabbanan enacted this takana? Why is it that if a guy does malacha for you on Shabbos, then that's prohibited? The Torah says, you don't do malacha. Lo sasim malacha. You should not be active. I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting. I'm not doing anything. He's doing things for me. He's cooking for me. What's the problem? So the Rambam in Perek Vav, Hilchos Shabbos, writes that the reason why Chachamim enacted this new takana was because the person is not sensitive to the fact that malacha is going on around him. The fact that there is prohibitions that the lights are going on, the TV's on, if he now becomes desensitized to the concept of malacha, even though he was inactive, even though he was passive and he didn't do anything, it will eventually affect his sensitivity towards malacha in its entirety, and it will lead, the Rambam says, to him violating malacha himself. So the Rambam says, the concept of Amir al-Akum is a gedder, is a safeguard, it's a precaution. It's the fact that you should not come to do malacha yourself. Technically, it really shouldn't have been prohibited. Chazal saw that this could lead to a major michshol, this could lead to a stumbling block. A person is going to be desensitized to the concept of malacha. Even if a guy is doing it, then he will lead to do malacha himself. That's the sheet of the Rambam. Rashi in Avodah Zarah and Daf Tes Vav has a totally different approach. Rashi says, no, it's not a safeguard. It's not a precaution. The actual request of the Gentile to do malacha on your behalf, to turn on the light, to drive a car, to do whatever it is, to build a house for you, is itself prohibited. Because the Pasuk in Yeshaya, many of the halachos that we are very familiar with, on every Shabbos, really comes from the Pasuk in Navi and Yeshaya, that Yeshaya says you have to wear big day Shabbos, the chibadto. The Yeshaya says that your discussions, mimso chetzecha, should not be involved with business deals. You should think about kedusha things. And then the Navi and Yeshaya says, v'daber dover. You should not have prohibited speech. What is the definition of prohibited speech? V'daber dover. So the Gemara tells us, I'm not allowed to speak about malachas. I'm not allowed to speak about things that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. I can't say, I want to drive to this place today, or tomorrow. I can't say, I want to mow the lawn tomorrow. I can't talk about those things. That's what the Gemara says specifically. Rashi says, not only am I prohibited to speak about my malacha, but I'm also not allowed to request a Gentile to do malacha on my behalf, and that is a violation of the pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya of the Daber Dover. So as the Rambam takes the approach of, it's a safeguard, it's a rabbinic ordinance, and it was a precaution, Rashi says, no. The Yeshaya Navi already said the actual speech is prohibited. It's not because of a safeguard. It's because the speech on its own right is a prohibition and is a violation. The Pnei Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua Falk, who lived in the early 1700s, we're more familiar with his commentary on the Masechtos. He has a running commentary on many of the Masechtos that we learn. But the Pnei Yeshua also had a Shilos and Tshuvas that we're less familiar with. And he had a famous question when it comes to the concept of Amir La'akim. The Pnei Yeshua asked, I don't understand. What do you need to come on to all these reasons that we're saying? Okay, we prove Amir La'akim is a rabbinic ordinance. Amir al-Akum is prohibited because the rabbis invented a prohibition. But now we're saying there's all these different reasons. Either it's a precaution, or it's really Midivrei Kabbalah because of the Pasuk of Vedaber Dover, because the speech is prohibited. But says the Pnei Yeshua, we're already familiar in many areas of halacha that if a Gentile does a prohibition on your behalf and represents you in that violation, so that is prohibited. The Gemara B'Matzia talks about it, about the violation that we're not so familiar with, but there's a violation when we're plowing the field. You're not allowed to muzzle the cow as he's grazing through the grass. He should be allowed to eat. You shouldn't cause tsar and pain to the behemoth. And the Gemara there says if you do it through a Gentile, if he's doing your work for you, you're also in violation. The Gemara discusses castrating the animal, Cirrus, which is also a violation. And the Gemara says you can't do that through a Gentile as well. So ask the Pnim Shua, why do we have to wake up and have this whole conversation when it comes to Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Shabbos, Amir La'akum, a guy's doing a malacha for you? That's a new invention, as the Gemara says, Amir La'akum Shvus. There's a specific rabbinic ordinance when it comes to Shabbos that we prohibited malacha done through a guy. As the Pnim Shua, we always have the violations being done through representation, through a Gentile on your behalf, through the concept of shlichus, through the concept of a messenger. Just like I can ask someone to be mekadesh my wife, so Chazal enacted that when it comes to violations, even if he's a Gentile, we paskin that it could be done through a guy as well. How to get around details and issues, that's for another shir. But the Gemara clearly says, black on white, when it comes to violations, when it comes to prohibitions, that is an issue, and you cannot have that violation transgressed through a non-Jew. So why is Shabbos any different? Why did Chazal have to develop a new idea when it comes to Shabbos? Why did the Rambam have to create this precaution? So the Chassam Sofer, of Moshe Sofer, it's a beautiful explanation. He explains, you want to know why? You want to know why we have to come on to these new reasons when it comes to Amir La'akum on Shabbos, Amir La'akum Shvus? It's because Chilul Shabbos, the desecration of Shabbos, cannot be done through an agent. It can't be done through a representative. You see, a representative and an agent is only applicable when there is the function of the prohibition is the result. Or the function of what you're doing is the result. I want to be married to a woman, therefore I appoint an agent to do the Maisa Kiddushin to marry her, and then at the end that result is placed on me through my messenger. But if the focus in the halacha and the Torah is being active, is you specifically doing something. As the Chassam Sofer write, which is the focus of Shabbos, lo sase melacha, your guf, your body has to rest, you have to be passive, you have to be inactive, so then there's no concept of shlichus. There is no representation when it comes to chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos doesn't exist through a messenger. The focus of the Torah is you should relax, you should sit back, you should rest. So there could be as many representatives and shluchim as you want, that's not going to create a desecration of Shabbos, of Chilul Shabbos. So that's why the classical halacha of shlichus would not apply when it comes to the halachos of Shabbos. That is the nature, that is the chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. Be that as it may, that's a beautiful hesber, and it would explain to us the first two opinions that we presented, the opinion of the Rambam that says Amir al-Akim is a safeguard, it's not because of shlichus, or the opinion of Rashi and Avodah Zarah is that it's Dabar Dabar, the speech, is forbidden. But black on white, Rashi writes in other areas of Shas that that's not the case. The reason for Amir La'akum, Rashi explains, is because he is your representative. He is your shliach. He is acting on your behalf, parallel and similar to all the other violations that the Gemara Mamatiyah says could be done through a representative of a guy. So we'll have to answer the Chassam Sofer's point, and hopefully we'll get to that at the end of the shir, but what should be bothering you as well is that how could that be? I just presented to you the second approach, Rashi and Avodah Zarah, that says the reason for Amir La'akum is not because it's a precaution, not because it's a safeguard, but because the speech in itself, inherently, is prohibited. The Dabar Dabar, you're not allowed forbidden speech. So why does Rashi contradict himself when it comes to the Masechta Shabbos? And Rashi tells us, you want to know why Amir La'akum Shvus, why did they enact in Isser Midrabanan and Invention Midrabanan that a guy who does Malacha for you is also because he's representing you? But that's not what you said in Avodah Zarah. You said it was V'daber Dover, the Pasuk and Navi. How do we deal with this contradiction? So there are a few Gedolim that came from different areas of the world. The Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe from Sokachev, the Kovit Shiurim, Rav Elchanan Wasserman from Baranovich, and the Stipler who was in Russia and then eventually moved to B'nai Brak. They all come up with the same idea to answer the seemingly blatant contradiction between Rashi. You want to know why we need these two Rashis? You want to know why we need these two reasons to prohibit Amir al-Akum? You're right. If you ask a Gentile on Shabbos to turn on the light for you, that's prohibited because of two reasons. Because on the one hand, the speech is forbidden, the daber dover, you're not allowed to instruct him to do malacha, that's prohibited. But also because he's representing you when doing that. There's the speech and there's the result. So when it comes to Shabbos, you're right. It's repetitive. There's two different reasons, and we have two different reasons why it's prohibited. However, says the Avnei Nezer, there are certain scenarios where those reasons, both of them, do not apply. And I need both those reasons in order to prohibit it as well. Because Amir la'akum, explains the Avnei Nezer, is not only prohibited on Shabbos. Amir la'akum is prohibited during the week. You're not allowed to tell your maid, listen, Shabbos is coming. I'm not allowed to turn on the lights on Shabbos. Make sure you turn the light on Shabbos. That's not allowed. Because although the speech was done on Wednesday, although the speech was done on a full-fledged weekday, but when the result happens, when he actually carries out that mission and turns on the light, that's shlichus. He's your representative. So very nice, you didn't violate Daber Dover. The speech was not forbidden. But there's another concept. There's another reason for the invention of the Rabbanan, which is shlichus. He's my representative. He's my agent. That malacha was done on my behalf. That's why we need the reason of shlichus. However, says the Avnei Nezer, and what happens in this scenario? I tell the Gentile on Shabbos, do me a favor. Matzah Shabbos is coming. I need you to drive to this place and take care of this issue for me. Pick up this medication, whatever. Pick up this kugel somewhere. Do that for me right after Shabbos. So says the Avnei Nezer, Rabbi Chanan, says, why is that prohibited? That's not shlichus. That's not him being your agent. When he carries out that mission, when he carries out that request, it's not Shabbos. It's much of Shabbos. We're already going to the movies. Says the Avnei Nezer, no. But you spoke about it when? You spoke about it on Shabbos. So if the speech was on Shabbos, that's forbidden speech, and that would be prohibited, and that's why Rashi needs both these reasons, the daber dover, and Amir la'akum shlus, because of shlichus, because not every scenario will include both of those halachos. This distinction of before Shabbos and after Shabbos is very important for the yes part of the shiurs. Now we can move on to some of the kulas, some of the yeses. There is a halacha. Up until now, we've been discussing that I cannot directly request a Gentile to do a malacha for me, to turn on the light, to cook something for me on Shabbos. That's prohibited. However, Chazal said if I hint to the Gentile, so then I could get around and circumvent the prohibition of Amir al-Akum. But you have to be very careful in understanding what does it mean to hint. Chazal made a very clear distinction between two types of hinting. Chazal said there is a hinting, remiza b'derech tzivui, remiza that you're hinting, but you're pretty much, it's pretty clear that you're asking him to do the malacha on your behalf. Like you say something like, why didn't you do this last Shabbos when I wanted you to turn off the lights? And it's Shabbos. So he clearly knows that he's about to get fired if he doesn't turn off the lights when you leave the meal. So that's tantamount to basically you asking him, turn off the lights when I leave the room. However, if I say to him, oh, pity, such a waste of electricity. Oh, I can't sleep. It's so bright in this room. I didn't mention anything about the malacha, and I also didn't make any request. If that's the case, that's what Chazal say is absolutely permitted on Shabbos, remiza shelo b'derech tzivui. If I'm in my room, and I forgot to turn off the light, or I forgot to turn off the radio, and it's going off, and I say, what a chaval, wasted electricity, it's going to give me such a headache, and the Gentile on his own intuition, you gotta get a smart one, figures out that, wait a second, I understand, I can help this situation, I can be Superman over here, I can save the day, I'll shut her off and I'll take care of all of his issues. If he figures it out on his own, not because I requested, can you help me out? Or not because I specifically delineated the malacha, so then he can act on your behalf, that is remiza shelo bederech tzivoy, that is a hint, which is permitted. Now the reason why this is important, because although I told you that remiza bederech tzivoy, when you say, the light's out in my room, and I say, oh, I'm not allowed to turn off the lights on Shabbos, and he's sitting there like, okay, so you're pretty much inferring then that he should turn off the lights on Shabbos, he's referring to the malacha itself. That is prohibited on Shabbos. I could say something like, it's a pity that the loss of electricity. Because I'm saying, we're schmoozing. We're having a cup of coffee. I'm telling him a story. He infers from the story that I'm telling him that maybe he should turn off the light. That's his own deal. That's his own decision making. But if I tell him, I'm not allowed to turn off the Shabbos, or I tell him, the lights are on, can you please help me out? That is remiza b'derech tzivoy. That is a hinting that tantamount to a command, to a direct request. That is prohibited on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, when it comes to these two times that we mentioned before, before Shabbos, or on Shabbos for after Shabbos, where we said a real bona fide amira la'akam, a full-fledged request, is prohibited, a remiza b'derech tzivoy would be permitted in those scenarios. Meaning, Chazal did not say that hinting in a requestful manner is really equivalent to a full-fledged request because they permitted it either Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos for after Shabbos. After Shabbos, during the weekday, you can say to him, last Shabbos, why didn't you turn off the lights? Now he knows, even though you're really telling him that you request for him to turn off the lights, and that's a remiza b'derech tzivoy, that's a hint with a command. However, since you did that after Shabbos, he is now allowed to use that, and he's going to know for next week that you want him to turn off the lights for the next Shabbos as well. And that would be the exception and the limitation to the prohibition of remiza before Shabbos for on Shabbos, or on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So those types of hints would be permitted. Now, if you notice, I was very specific and not creative in terms of the examples that I mentioned. Everything was basically turn off the lights, lower down the flame. What do you mean? Let's get television. Let's get the lights on. Let's get things going on. Creativity. The answer for that, the reason why I chose those examples, is because the halacha is not only is amira la'akum, is the speech an issue and the request an issue, but even a scenario where I did not request him at all to do anything. And I'm sitting in the room, and he sees me sitting in the dark. And now he comes in and he says, oh, Ellie, why are you sitting in the dark? And he turns on the light on my behalf. Chazal instituted that there's a penalty, midrabanan, any malacha that is done on your behalf through a Gentile, you are not allowed to benefit from at all. Any positive benefit, direct positive benefit, like now being able to read a book in the room, because the guy turned it on for my pleasure, I am not allowed to use that light, I am not allowed to enjoy that light, and I must leave the room. That's why the examples that I gave were all indirect cases. The light's on in the room, now it's off, I'm not directly benefiting from his malacha, now indirectly, it's the room is now... Now you could sleep. Now you could have some indirect benefit from the malacha of the Gentile. I didn't gain from the fact that he turned off my soup and it didn't burn. Indirectly, the fact that it didn't get to a scenario that it burned, so now I have a food that I cooked. But if the Gentile would cook up a whole soup for me, so that's direct benefit. He's now cooking, and you're directly benefiting from that malacha. That is also prohibited under Amira La'akum. That is a penalty, and it's ironic. That penalty exists even over time. That penalty exists after Shabbos for the amount of time that it takes for you to do that malacha. For instance, if the Gentile cooked you up a steak, a raw steak, and now you want to have it after Shabbos, I need to wait the amount of time that it would take to cook that steak, so I'm not directly benefiting from the action, from the transgression of the Gentile on Shabbos. Are there any exceptions to that knas, to that penalty? So the answer is yes. The exceptions are, one, if the Gentile himself walks into the room and he wants to read the newspaper and he's doing this malacha for himself, so obviously I can get benefit. Why? Because there's one light, as the Gemara says, ner echad, ner lameya. One light helps one person and it helps 100 people. There's no difference between one light and for one person and a light for many people. So he did this malacha for himself. He's allowed to do this malacha. So therefore, the Gemara says, I can benefit in a scenario where he's doing the malacha on his own behalf. Or the post can say, that limitation is specifically to a case like a light where there's no difference between one light for one person and a light for 100 people. However, and this came up even on Shabbos, what happens if a Gentile cooks something for a chola, which is totally permitted? Can I now take a taste of that hot water, of that coffee? Can I now take a taste of that thing that he cooked for the Gentile? So then Chazal limited and said, no, that's not parallel to the case of the light. When it comes to the light, there's one switch, there's one light bulb, there's no difference between you and 100 people. However, when it comes to cooking something, so now you're worried that maybe, okay, he's allowed to cook for the Gentile, but if you're now going to have, maybe he's going to add for the other people, as the Chazal say, Shema Yarbe Bishvilo. Maybe he's going to add and do more prohibited malacha and cook more on your behalf, so I can't even get hana, I can't even get benefit, positive benefit, from the thing that was the soup or the hot water that was cooked for the chola in a permissible fashion. So this came up on Shabbos. There was hot water that was cooked up for my father, who was permitted. He was after a procedure. They were allowed to cook up for him. And I wanted to take a sip. So the question is, am I allowed to take a sip from my father's cup? So the simple answer should be, absolutely not. If you do that, so then maybe he's going to add. Maybe he's going to add on your behalf, and that would be prohibited under the knas, under the penalty of being nene from a malach of a guy. That's not like the lights. But Moshe Feinstein said, it's okay. You want to know why? Because Medicare only pays for the patient. Medicare doesn't pay for the visitors. And so therefore, says Moshe, this nurse could not care less about you. This nurse is not going to do anything for you. They're focused on that person. So that's really tantamount to the light. They're not going to add anything anyways, so therefore I would be allowed. However, in a case of a home, in a case of a maid, where in a permitted way they did something, and now you're worried that they might add for people that it's not permitted for, that would be prohibited as well. Are there any other limitations to this penalty? So that's a very good question. And Anshlech de Ravera, there are a few answers to that question. I don't want to get into the shir. The Avne Melun is of the opinion that, first of all, Anshlech de Ravera might not apply to non-Jews. Right. That's a good point, or one reason. Or it's Exeris HaKasa. Very good. Avram said one of the reasons that are brought down for the concept of Anshlech de Ravera is Divrei Arav, the Divrei Atama, Divrei Mishonim. The Gentiles don't have a Rav in terms of all these halachas. They don't have a Rebbe. Or you could just say simply, Anshlech de Ravera, which is the opinion of other Rishonim, is Exeris HaKasa. That Exeris HaKasa doesn't apply to Gentiles. But there's other ideas, but that's part of the discussion with the Pnei Yeshua and the Chasam Sofer dealing with Anshlech de Ravera. Excellent question. Back to the issue of penalty, and I'll get to you in a second. Are there any other exceptions to the case of penalty? Okay, that's simple. When he does something on his own, so I'm not the mashkiach for the guy. If he wants to read the newspaper, so I'm allowed to benefit if he turns on the light and I happen to come in and read my newspaper as well. However, the Taz and the Prima Gadim have a fascinating chiddush. They state that if I ask the Gentile to do something permitted, can you do me a favor? Can you please find my slippers? Could you do me a favor? Can you wash the dishes in a permitted fashion? I just ask him to rinse off the dishes. And now, says the Taz, when he's washing the dishes, he turns on the light. Or when he's looking for the slippers, he has to turn on the light. So that, the Taz and the Prima Gadin are Mechadish, that's also his own Malacha. He has to do his job in certain ways. It's more convenient for him to look than to be scrounging around and finding it. So I am allowed to run into the room, in a room that I wanted the light on, and say, "Oh, wait, don't turn it off. Don't turn it off." So that's an extension, and that's very applicable. Many times, if you need a light in the room, so maybe ask the Gentile, "Can you please go get my slippers?" Even if you don't have slippers in it, no. But that would be an Eitzah for you to be able to get positive benefit from the Malacha. There's an important caveat also that Shlomo Zalman and other posts can develop, that if I make a request from the Gentile, and he on his own decides to do it in a prohibited fashion, but technically he could have done it in a permissible fashion, so Amir al-Akum would not apply in such a scenario. I ask him to pick up something, there's an Erev, to pick up something for me, a steak or some schnitzel for the meal, and I ask him to go across a few blocks away. He decides he's lazy and he wants to drive a car. That would not be Amir al-Akum. That's in order to serve his own convenience. That does not apply, and that would be another exception to the rule. In terms of what we said before, the concept of remiza, of hinting, you have to know practically, on a practical level, it is sometimes a little difficult. Because one of the most common questions is, so I hint to the, it happened to me a few months ago. The alarm went off, and you know, we were about to go to sleep, and we forgot to turn it off before Shabbos, and I run in, my sister-in-law had a baby nurse there, and I say, and the baby nurse is the first time in the Jewish home, and I say to her, "The radio is blasting in my room." And she's about to lie down, she's in her room, and she goes, "That's great. What do you want from my life?" So I sat there. So the post can really say that you can't really respond in an instructive fashion. Even if she would have responded to me as she did, "Do you want me to turn it off for you?" I can't say yes. Because once I say yes, I'm instructing them to do the malacha for me. So she asked me, "Do you want me to turn it off?" And I said, "I don't know." Or I said, as the Kaf HaChayim Mishmir Shabbos Kil Chassa says, "Do what you want." That is permitted. So it gets sticky, and you're not going to look so intelligent when this happens. However, that's the halacha.
Fine.
I did. So I said, "It's disturbing me." And they said, "Fine, so what do you want from me?" The problem was the next step. The problem was the next step. So that was the issue.
Can you say I'm not permitted to turn
up? No, because then I'm referring to the malacha directly. That would be permitted Erev Shabbos, like we said before. Or that would be permitted on Shabbos for a malacha done after Shabbos. But if you're specifically referring to the malacha itself, that would be the example of remiza bederach tzivoy, which we limit when the malacha is taking place on Shabbos. I'm going to take questions in a second. I just want to try to move along. So we have a few exceptions. We went through this concept of remiza, of hinting, and we went through the concept of getting benefit from a positive, direct benefit from a positive malacha. And we said the reason why all the cases of turning off the light, turning down the fire so it doesn't burn, is because now I'm getting indirect benefit. That is something which is permitted. So therefore, even if I would hint to the Gentile in a permissible way, a remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy, "This is too light. It's a pity that I have to waste all this electricity." And now he turns off the light. Or now he turns down the crock pot. So then I am allowed to get benefit. I'm allowed to get pleasure from that item because it's not direct benefit. It's indirect benefit. Are there any other exceptions to the rule of Amir al-Akum Shvus, to the rule of Amir al-Akum? So there are. Chazal said, based on the initial statements that we made at the beginning of this year, we accept the opinion of the Ramban that Amir al-Akum is a rabbinic ordinance, it's a rabbinic invention, it's not biblical in its nature. Because of that, because we accept that, so now Chazal said, any time you're dealing with a rabbinic prohibition that the Gentile is doing for you on your behalf, so then we will allow that in specific scenarios. When learning Maseches Shabbos, one of the most crucial questions on every daf and every malacha that you learn is what is the nature of this prohibition? Is it biblical or is it rabbinic? Is it midiraisa or is it midirabbanan? Why is it so crucial? Technically, it's prohibited either way you look at it, whether it's midirabbanan or midiraisa. It's for this reason that a person has to decipher whether it's biblical in its nature or it's rabbinic. Because Chazal said, in certain scenarios of a tzorech gadol, and we'll go through those scenarios, where you have amira la'akum, which is rabbinic on its own right, and now the Gentile is only going to be involved in a rabbinic transgression, so that would be considered a double dirabanan, amira la'akum, plus a rabbinic transgression, and therefore you have to know what cases are rabbinic, what cases are biblical, to know whether or not the Gentile can do this on your behalf. One of these scenarios is a case where a person's in a lot of pain. Tsar, he has a burn. He's fully functioning. He's going to shul. He's at social events. But he's really in a lot of pain from something that happened in the week. So if you need the Gentile to do something on your behalf, that's only rabbinic in its the prohibition is only rabbinic in its nature, he would be allowed to do that for you because you're in a situation of tzar. What would be an example? You're in a scenario like we were for Shabbos that there is no Eruv, you're in a Carmelis, it's not a Rishus Haram D'Oraisa, so there aren't enough, it's not a thoroughfare, there aren't 600,000 people that it's prohibited to carry on a biblical level, however, it's still rabbinically prohibited to carry without an Eruv. However, if you ask the Gentile to carry in that Carmelis, which is only rabbinic in its nature, so then that would be permitted in this case of a Tsar Gadol. Another scenario that Chazal said it would be permitted would be a case of a mitzvah. If I need a machzer, I need a sitter, but there's no Eruv up, and we're in Teaneck, New Jersey, which is not a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, it's not a biblical prohibition to carry outside, it's only rabbinic in its nature, so I can ask the Gentile to bring the sitter or bring the machzer for me to shul, because that would be a double derabanan, a shvus de shvus, the makom mitzvah. Another example would be a case of tzorech gadol, or hefsed gadol, let's say, for oneg Shabbos. We need the potato kugel, we need the meat for our suda, and we don't have any meat for our suda, and I left it at my friend Miriam's house, and I can't carry it over here. That would be a case where I'd be able to ask the guy, it's a shvus de shvus, a double derabanan, oneg Shabbos, she would be allowed to carry it as well. Another scenario is a scenario of hefsed gadol. Let's say I have a fully packed freezer, and somehow it got unplugged, it came out of the wall, and now I want to plug it back in. Because we accept the opinion of most poskim that electricity is only a violation of midrabanan, I would be allowed, in order to avoid the loss of my freezer of all this meat, I would be allowed to ask the Gentile to plug in my freezer, or if it's schwitzy, it's hot, and we're schwitzing and the air conditioning turned off for some reason. So that's also electricity. That is not equivalent to the case of the light, which would be a biblical prohibition of Havara, of starting a fire on many of these light bulbs. So those are some of the exceptions that when you're dealing with a rabbinic prohibition, that Amira La'akam would be permitted. Just one or a few examples of when even a biblical prohibition would be permissible, would be a scenario as following. We've developed up until now that if there's a big tzorech, oneg Shabbos, a person's in a lot of pain, so then a person is allowed to ask a Gentile to do a rabbinic prohibition on your behalf, because that's a double derabanan. When is he allowed to do even a deraisa, even to turn on the light, even a biblical prohibition, even to drive a car, which is a fire? So there's an interesting statement of the Magen Avraham, which is very important for us, very practical for us to know, halacha lemaisa. When I ask a Gentile to turn on the light, so I'm being directive, and I say, please turn on the light on my behalf. I tell him, instruct him, turn on the light. That is prohibited, and that's a malach d'oraisa. However, what happens if he's really, the pu'ula that he's doing, the action that he's doing, is not turning on the light, but rather the action that he's doing is opening the fridge, and then it's inevitable that when the fridge opens up, a light will turn on. Or he opens the car door and a light will turn on because he's opening the door. So that is what we call in halacha a psik resha. That is an inevitable result that's going to happen through the malacha of the goy. That is not usher under amira la'akum. That is That is something secondary, and that will not be prohibited. And therefore, many of the cases, like opening the fridge, which as a result, a second malacha will be, a malacha will come out and result from this situation, that would be permitted. Also, the post can say, if you have a cholish emo sakana, it's not just a tsar, it's not just a burn, he really can't function, he has a flu, he has chicken pox, all amir la'akam, even deraisa, drive a car, whatever it is, that's mutar on Shabbos. There are a few other scenarios, I'm not going to go through them. I just want to wrap up last minute to get back to the thing, the concept that we started for. We opened up the shir and we discussed that there are different reasons that the Chazal gave for the prohibition of Amir al-Akram. Whether it's, the Rambam tells us, a precaution, or whether it's the fact that the Daber Dover, the speech itself, inherently is prohibited. And we asked, the Pnei Yeshua asked, why don't you come on to the concept of Shlichus? What do you need all these other reasons? He's your agent, he's your representative. So the Chasam Sofer developed the idea, as we said earlier, because there is no concept of Shlichus when it comes to Amir La'akam. Shlichus is something that the nature of the halacha is the result. There's going to be a marriage that's going to result out of this transaction. There's going to be Hafrosh's Truma that's going to result out of my... When it comes to Shabbos, the focus is me active or being passive. When you have a malacha done on your behalf through a Gentile, that's not you being active, that's not you being passive. But if you remember, and with this we'll end, we started off that Rashi is not of the opinion. We developed throughout the shir that Rashi says that's not true. When it comes to Shabbos as well, Amir La'akum is prohibited because he's your representative, because he's your agent. So how is it that Rashi answers this question of the Chasam Sofer? How does Shlichus, which is your being active or passive on Shabbos, how does Shlichus apply to Shabbos? Shabbos is what you do. It's not what your Shliach does. It seems like Rashi has a totally fundamental different understanding of Chilul Shabbos, of Malachas on Shabbos. Where the Chasam Sofer suggested that the focus on Shabbos is that you shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos, you shouldn't be active or passive. When it comes to Rashi, Rashi says no. Kadosh Baruch Hu infused into the world Kedushas Shabbos. We sit here on Thanksgiving, we have a day of break, a rest, but as Rav Zevin writes, our Yom Menucha and the Yom Menucha of the Gentile world is totally different. Their Yom Menucha, their Thanksgiving day, it's a rest, it's a break, we stop working. No. When it comes to Shabbos, it's not just a day of resting. It's not just your body being inactive. There's something in the world. As Rav Zevin writes, when you come up to the Olam HaEmes and you pulled off a Te'ena in the world, infused in the Te'ena will scream at you. How could you do this? How could you affect the creation of the world that God transmitted on the seventh day of creation? He placed Menucha into the world. So when malacha is done in the world, even if it's not you actually doing it yourself, that's going to cause a prohibition. The fact that a malacha is being done, even if through a Gentile, that's an issue as well. And therefore, Rashi says, yes, when it comes to Shabbos, even though you're passive, even though you're inactive, you can still violate Chilul Shabbos through Shlichus. Because infused in the world, in the Kedusha of the world, in the physical, the palpable, the material of the world, that Chilul Shabbos exists. That Kedusha was transmitted in the creation of the world. And that's why Rashi L'shitaso, Rashi writes that when it comes to Shvi'is, the year of Shemitah, Rashi says, you should know, don't think that because it's the year of Shemitah, that you're now permitted not to keep Shabbos. And Rashi is very strange. What does Shemitah have anything to do with Shabbos? One is not working on the Karka, and one is you resting on the seventh day of the week. The answer is, just as we find, Rashi's opinion is, just as we find the desecration of the transgression of Shvi'is is not only through you. Even if a Gentile works on the field, that will violate Shvi'is, and that is a prohibition for sure. So too, Rashi's telling you, Shabbos is not only about you being active. Shabbos is even on your behalf. Some desecration, some Chilul Shabbos exists. That would be a violation as well. Thank you.
We'll take a few minute break.